This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. Isabel Joski is in sixth place in the Vendée Globe. Let's listen to how she's doing today.
Nice, I'm fine. I'm a little bit cold and tired because it's the night right now.
But you're doing well. You're in sixth place in the Vendée Globe. Is very good.
Oh, yes, I did. No, I'm happy to hear that. This looks pretty good. Although the wind is so difficult right now to find and so changing that I have the feeling it's difficult to sail. I don't have the feeling that I'm doing well.
But you're in contact. You have a good group, and if you can stay with the group, it should be okay.
Yes, I am. I have the contact with the group that was way in front of me a few days or a few weeks before. That's really nice. I'm trying to stay with them, although I think each boat is different. Probably the foilers are not very good in these light conditions. But I'm doing my best and just waiting that the wind comes.
So you were just talking, Isabel, you were just talking about your food, and you're eating a lot just now in the cold?
Oh, yeah, I need to eat and to drink much hot water, soups and things like that, tea, because this helps to stay warm. And fortunately, I have very, very nice food on board. It's not freeze-dried food, but it's dry food, very special made with another technology than freeze-dried. So I have many, many good things to eat. So I'm pretty happy about that, because right now it's not easy just to stay in the boat in this cold, and just to stay static is impossible. You have to move or just to go in and lay down under the blanket, but it's really not so easy. So it's good to have a nice food, to have something nice.
Did I hear that you say that you have a lot of eggs?
Yes, I started the race with 100 eggs, and I've been eating two of them each day until these last days. But right now I consider that maybe it's risky to continue eating them, although they still look very good. But I stopped, and I probably will wait until I'm home to eat my eggs under breakfast again.
Isabel, next time you take a chicken with you.
Yes. Yeah, I would. I really love eggs. It's really,
no,
really nice.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday, and we always check in with our co-host for this segment for SalesportTalk.com, Karen Lyle. And today on the show, we have the past LAYC Commodore Marie Rogers, who's been recently nominated for the Southern California Yachting Association Award called the Peggy Slater Award. And we also have incoming Commodore of the SYAC, Bill McNamara. Karen, because we're on Skype and we have four people, I'm going to let you do this. You interview Marie and Bill so we don't get too confused. I'll come in and I'll let you know when we're out of time. So Karen Lyle, take it away.
Okay, sounds great, Rick. Hello, how are you both doing? It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Karen.
What I'll do is I will just ask each of you by name a question, since we're all here together. First of all, I'd love to start with you, Bill, and could you tell us a little bit about the Southern California Yachting Association Award, the Peggy Slater Award, and what the significance of that is?
Well, I'd be happy to, Karen. The Southern California Yachting Association is a association of yacht clubs. There's about 100 of them here in Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, and one in Baja, California, in Ensenada, Mexico. We award a number of trophies each year celebrating the successes and contributions of our members. And we have with us today Staff Commodore of LAYC, Marie Rogers, who was nominated by a number of organizations this year for the 2020 Peggy Slater Memorial Award. The Memorial Award is chosen by a group of prior winners. So unlike a lot of the awards that we administer, this one is completely in the hands of prior winners who review applications and letters of recommendation of up to 3 pages each. And this year, after careful consideration and a great number of spectacular nominees, I'm told, they were very happy to announce that LAYC Junior Staff Commodore, or recently former Junior Staff Commodore, Marie Rogers, was named for 2020.
Marie, you know, you have been a pioneer in bringing many people into sailing and yachting that had never considered it before. And what do you think is the most important aspect of inclusion for yacht clubs?
Well, I think you have to just consider the wonderful privilege it is to be able to be on a vessel on the water and be safe and then thus have fun. And it's not something that you can just step into, unfortunately. Unlike other sports like skiing or maybe even skydiving, you just sort of sign up and do it. But with yachting, it's different because there's this whole history associated with it in clubs and whatnot. And there are some people who traditionally have just not been, you know, part of that whole scene. It's just been the history of our country because clubs are private. And they, you know, haven't just let anybody in. So I found myself as an adult, a younger adult, able to gain access and immediately started loving sailing and, of course, wanted to invite my friends. And so that's basically how it got started. And my friends are from a very diverse group that didn't feel that they would feel welcome in this environment, which was not very diverse ethnically. And so I thought maybe we could change that. And so that's how it all began.
And Bill, I think that the Southern California Yachting Association added a new committee that involved Marie this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the Southern California Yachting Association serves our 100 member clubs through about 20 different committees. And this year we elected to add a committee that Marie ultimately was selected to chair, and that is the Southern California Yachting Association Inclusivity Committee. Marie was uniquely qualified because of her introduction.
We lost you for just a moment, Bill. Where we lost you was that you said Marie was uniquely qualified, and then there was a little blank space.
Well, you could fill in almost anything in that blank, but in this particular case, uniquely qualified to help us increase our diversity and our inclusivity. She did a lot of pioneering work at Los Angeles Yacht Club, increasing the inclusivity and diversity of their introduction to sailing program, and did a lot of community outreach to segments of our society that just have not been well represented in yacht clubs over our 100-year history.
Well, Marie, I listened to the speech that you gave when you accepted this award, and you know, I didn't realize that you were the first African-American woman of any major yacht club, I guess, to not just Los Angeles Yacht Club in the Southern California area to be a Commodore. And you mentioned something about your parents and how they would have loved yachting. I mean, how would you visualize, because they were in the 50s and inclusion was not really a concept so much at that time. How would you visualize them today if they were in your program with you?
Oh, they would love the whole club atmosphere. My mom is a really big bridge player, for example, and she was involved in bridge clubs, social clubs. And my dad was very athletic. He was a lifeguard. He was one of the very first LA County lifeguards. And then back then, black lifeguards could not work at the beach, at the county beaches. You had to only work at a black facility. So he was chief lifeguard in Val Verde, which is north of LA. It's the northernmost part of the county. And so if they were able to be in a yacht club, I could just totally see them involved in all the activities. They'd have a really nicely maintained boat. I mean, everything. Like, we had a Woody as a car. It was, like, always shined. So it would have been awesome. I could see that, especially the social part of it. It would have been epic.
Well, and Bill, you're a sailor as well, and so what is it that you love about sailing that you feel is important to share with others?
Well, there's two aspects to my passion. One is sailing, and that basically involves just being out on the water. I'm involved in blue water cruising to Hawaii and England and Ireland and the islands off the California coast and Baja California and the Sea of Cortez. So cruising is a big part of my boating life. I also spent a lot of time racing in mid-sized boats, similar to one that Marie skippers. So, you know, probably 1,000 races over the course of the last decade. So that's one aspect. I just love participating. And in the last 6 or 7 years, I've gotten involved in sort of the club life, where you are spending time with people with similar interests. There's plenty of clubs. You know, the United States Congress established a tax category for membership clubs like country clubs and golf clubs and fraternities and sororities and yacht clubs. And that tax code section kind of defines the fact that we all have something in common. We raise most of our money for our own purposes. And that life has turned into basically a social element. You know, when we're not on the water, we're together talking about being on the water. And I have friends who can tell me all about the lie of the green at the Torrey Pines 18th hole. And that very sentence bores me to tears. But we have similar conversations at yacht clubs. And it doesn't involve things like Bermuda grass and the height of the green and other things that are really important to my friends at golf.
It might be, is this a roller furling or a hanked on jib, right?
These are the debates that fill the hours at yacht club bars. Yes, it does.
That's true. And Marie, you're very much a part of that because you've sailed, you did your first Transpac last year. I remember I was in the Caribbean, I think probably somewhere in the Sir Francis Drake Channel in the BVI when I got your text when you were on Kazan, I think it was the name of that boat. And then I read them on, when I did my broadcast, from the BVI and I read about your progress. So, but you've sailed all over. You've spent so much time on the water, Marie. What is your favorite? You're a racer, but you also cruise. What is your favorite? Do you prefer racing or cruising?
I love to race. I love cruising. I've just done a lot more racing because, you know, as a young kid, I wasn't really on teams. And I, you know, I was a downhill skier, so I raced that way. I was on a skiing team, and I was a master swimmer. I love competition, and I played tennis in my youth. But being on a boat's great because you have a whole crew, and I've never really been part of a team that way. I've always been like individual stuff. So I love that. I love being on the water. But more and more as I age, cruising is becoming a lot more appealing. And I spent some time in the Caribbean and Sea of Cortez and up and down California coast and into Mexico. I love it. And I love cruising to Catalina and back. You know, it's just, you know, it's like the back of my hand, that route.
So I love both aspects, but I think as life changes, I get older, I'll probably be doing more cruising.
Well, I think cruising, I love the cruising, as you know, but I'm becoming passionate about talking to racers about the thing that they love to do when they race. So it's been so much fun. Bill, we have just a minute or so more. Can you summarize for us a little bit about how the LA Yacht Clubs are doing during the pandemic? Are they still reaching out to their members and getting races and sailing going?
There's a wide variety of reactions, and most of the clubs seem to be migrating toward a common approach. In the early days, when various counties and harbors asked the clubs to close, treating them much like restaurants or bars at the time, a number of the clubs I belonged to started phone chains where members were calling other members to check on them, see how they were doing, just make certain they had what they needed. Yachting, like yacht clubs and country clubs, tend to have a slightly older demographic than other organizations. So there were grocery deliveries arranged, and there were food deliveries arranged for people who would normally, just show up at the club for dinner by Uber, multiple days a week. And now they were housebound and maybe not terribly flexible and well-equipped. Some counties were pretty draconian in their reactions, and some of our clubs just locked the doors. Some of them received letters from their landlords who were concerned about repercussions from their local governments and told them, look, you have to lock the doors. You can't have anybody inside. And that was really dramatic for organizations that depend on serving their members in order to pay their employees and maintain their services. No, so there was a lot of diversity.
Unfortunately,
but I think,
we're out of
most
time.
We
want to thank Marie Rogers, and also we want to thank Bill McNamara and Karen Lyle. Karen, thanks everyone, and Happy New Year to you all.
Thank you very much.
Happy New Year, all.
Thanks,
and we'll chat again. We'll continue. Bye bye.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.